The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. It is another episode of No Bets Barred, this time for UFC Apex 61, Mackenzie Dern versus Yan Xiao Nan. Last week, no UFC, but we had Bellator. Bellator is gonna Bellator. That's pretty much all I can say. Jed, how we doing?
Doing great. I did not join you in the Bellator last week, but
did you take one and a half in the Yoel fight?
No, I didn't. I honestly just forgot. I should.
You're a smart man.
But I just forgot.
I was sitting there Friday. I was sitting there Friday afternoon. I almost took it goes to a decision, which would have been heartbreaking. I was sitting there Friday afternoon and I was like, why do I do this to myself? I don't want to watch this right now. I don't want to have bets on this. And sure enough, a giant favorite. We said it on the podcast, was going to shit in my day. And that's what they did. Carl Albrechtsen and Mads Burnell. I did hit one parlay though.
I love that you hit the one parlay. Yeah, I totally had the intention of putting down Bellator bets, and then time got away from me, and because it was Bellator, and it was like the early the Dublin, because Bellator was middle of the day or whatever. I was just like, oh crap, these are on right now, and lines are already closed down because I did not watch any of that card except for the co-main and main event of it, but you know. It was Bellator. So you knew going in, you said, I'm going to lose.
And I'm
going to
do it again this week. That's the worst part.
I'm doing it a lot this week.
It's been 5 days and my heart is already repaired and I'm ready to get busted on a giant favorite again. Can we talk about Yoel Romero? Yoel Romero, round three Romero is a mythical fighter. He's what Jordan, what people wanted Charles Jordan to be.
Yeah, he's been around three Romero forever though.
Dude, four straight wins, round three. Eight of his last 11 have come in round three.
Yeah, he's like, it's like actually a thing with him. And my theory is that he knows he doesn't have the gas tank to do anything. So he just kind of hangs out for 10 minutes. And then he's like, oh, well, he is literally the definition of, well, I only have 5 minutes left. Better let it all go right now. And then he does. And it's awesome.
I can't lie. I love watching him fight. I mean, it's just the way he just stands there and just plods. Like
it's the best.
He's not rhythm stepping. He's not jumping around. Every once in a while, you'll see him bounce a little bit, but just like the amount that he just stood right in front of Melvin Manhoef, a dangerous striker, and just stood there flat footed. I love watching him, dude. He's fun to watch.
I'll maintain until the day that I die that he beat Israel Adesanya in their fight. Maybe not in like the unified rules scoring, but
in the, right, the rules that count.
In the playground's rules, one dude was clearly terrified of engaging with the other. And the other dude stood there and did a little shuffle step and was like, hey, come hit me. And then one dude just lightly tapped him and stayed away.
Well, it is the unified rules that get you the belt. And that's what Israel Adesanya still maintains. So
he should have beat Robert Whittaker by the unified rules. And that didn't get him the belt. This man has been screwed time and time again. Playground rules. That's your middleweight champ, though, right there.
I would love to see Yoel Romero make a real run at the Bellator belt. That would be fantastic. I'm praying that we see him get a strap on him. So that was Bellator. Peter Quigley's walkout was cool. That's about all I have to say about that. We're on.
Oh, yeah. That main event does not merit discussion.
No. We're on to UFC Apex 61. We're on to Bellator 286. I mean, there's one championship. There's LFA. You name it. We got it this weekend. But we're not here for all that. We're here to break down this UFC Apex 61 card.
Because we're going to talk about every fight, which is insane. But I realized that this morning when I was looking over it and I was like, oh, yeah, you and I have a couple of all on the prelim stuff. We've got alternating bets there. I don't have on a couple of main card fights, so we might want to skip them because I know we're trying to keep it tight this week.
Yeah, we'll break the fourth wall. So I'm in the podcast studios here in Manhattan, and I typically reserve the space. Completely blanked this week. Was like on the way in on the train this morning. I was like, it's not that big of a deal. I've never seen anyone book this before. Of course, this morning I check it. Someone booked it for 9:30. It's 8:35. We got a little bit of time. We got a solid 50 minutes. We're not going to rush through this, but we definitely got to keep it tight. We got to stay on our P's and Q's.
No need to rush, but have very little to say about John Castaneda, Daniel Santos. I don't know if you do or not. But
I actually do have a little bit to say about that.
Oh, well, then that's great. You know what? Let's just hop into the card because we got a lot of fights to talk about.
Well, let's just let it rip. Let's let it rip. Let's start with the main event. It is Mackenzie Dern taking on Yan Xiaonan. Mackenzie Dern coming in at -225. Xiaonan coming back at +190. Over-under is set at 3.5. Over -115. Under -115 as well. I was hoping this would be flyweight. I mean, obviously, it was never going to be flyweight, but I was hoping to be flyweight so we could take a flyweight on.
It could be, buddy. Like, we hadn't had weigh-in day yet, so.
That'd be sick, because then I'd have to take the
under. It's not like Mackenzie Dern is the best at making weight. So it could still be a catch weight or a spiritual flyweight, even if it's not technically one.
Yeah. Another flyweight under hitting on Dana White Contender Series last night.
I'm getting so many messages because I don't follow. Like, I'll also break the fourth wall. I rarely, if ever, watch the Contender Series just because I spend the rest of my week doing fight-related stuff. It's just not that important to me. Sorry, fans. I get so many messages because they have been doing apparently gangbusters on Contender Series as well. Just they don't miss. They do not miss.
Yeah, I need to go back and pull the stat. I'm actually curious between Contender Series and UFC, when the last time a male flyweight fight went the distance. I think it's been a minute. Like, I seriously think it's been a minute.
It had to have been months because at least that's June. Why rule number one. Rule number one in the rule book is flyweight unders are locked. Never miss.
It's got to be at least June. I mean, I started up on this in May, so it has to have been a minute. All right, you got a play on this fight, main event?
I have two plays on this fight.
Me too.
Ooh, are we? I assume we're in the same neighborhood here. I am not backing the underdog, are you?
Yes.
You're backing the dog?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so is this just strictly a fade Mackenzie Dern situation?
Oh. I mean, it's not fading her. I mean, she is not a good striker at all, going up against a very competent striker in Yan Xiaonan.
Yan Xiaonan has never impressed me.
Mackenzie Dern has. She gets a submission. That's how she wins.
Yes. That's like, I'm going to read verbatim what I wrote.
I'd love to hear.
Wrote here. Mackenzie Dern isn't as good as people believe she is.
No.
But she still has one A++ skill. Yeah,
she does
which
have
is
that.
At least one more than Yan Xiaonan has. Like, I don't. Willing to believe that this is a bad bet just from the odds perspective of it because Dern. That's the thing, though. I thought Dern would be more juiced. I thought Dern would be in the minus 300 range because of the name, etc. She's only minus 225 right now on DraftKings. And like, it won't totally shock me if she loses, because I agree, she's certainly not as good as as people believe. I have limited to no real belief in Yan Xiaonan. Like,
you thought that Mackenzie Dern was going to be minus 300?
Yeah.
And you watch the Marina Rodriguez Yan Xiaonan fight, and you watch the Mackenzie Dern Marina Rodriguez fight.
Yeah,
and the Mackenzie Dern Tisha Torres fight.
Yeah, that's styles make fights. You know, like, I agree. Dern could not get Marina Rodriguez to the ground, and so she got teed off on
for four rounds.
Also, Marina Rodriguez is really good. Yan Xiaonan is I'm not arguing the striking thing whatsoever. Clearly,
you can make
Yan
the case that
Yan
Xiaonan beat Marina Rodriguez.
I mean, you can't. I don't think I agree with that case, but I guess you can.
I mean, dude, what? Marina Rodriguez went off in the third round. She clearly won that round. Yan Xiaonan clearly won round one. It came down to a razor thin round two. It was a split decision.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of bad split decisions. I thought Rodriguez won the second round and the third round. I mean, very clearly. I thought she won the third round. I thought she won the second round competently. I've just never been in on the Yan Xiaonan thing. Maybe it's like that she was getting all gassed up, and then Carla Esparza, who I know she's the champion.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about that.
The strawweight champion.
She sure is, by all the rights of God and man. I think that while she may be the champion, she's like the sixth best strawweight in the world. So to see Yan Xiaonan just crumble under her, and like, I don't know. I just feel like Carla is a better wrestler than Dern. And I know you're a stack guy.
I mean, of course, she is a better wrestler than Dern.
But that's the thing. I know you're a stack guy, and I know that the stats for Dern as far as takedowns, they're bad.
Awful.
But that's because she doesn't actually shoot takedowns. And like, the way that they score takedowns, like, if you go and look at Dern's fights, she gets the fight to the floor, guard pulls, transitions, like trips and stuff. But like, against Tisha Torres, she has 3 sub attempts. She had 0 takedowns credited. Like, that happens a lot. And it's
right.
I think it's not that she is a bad wrestler. She just rarely ever tries to actually do it.
No, she's not a great wrestler, dude.
I mean, she's not a great wrestler, but
yeah, like, she's not a good wrestler. You don't have 9% takedown accuracy and be like, I just never shoot for takedowns. That's why it's at 9%. Like, you're just not good at getting takedowns.
And she just doesn't shoot that often, though. Like, she gets tie-ups.
But when she does shoot, she's hitting at less than a 10% rate.
Sure. Like, I'm not saying she's...
She tried over and over in that Marina Rodriguez fight.
Yeah, Marina Rodriguez is really good at defending takedowns.
I love the respect for Marina, because I love Marina Rodriguez.
Marina Rodriguez is great. She might actually be like, if she got to fight for the belt, she would win the belt. She's just never going to, because nobody cares.
No, I think she'll get a shot if she keeps winning.
That's the thing. If she keeps winning, which is stupid, she should be next in line. But because of she has the least like star power
Zhang.
Of anyone
it's
at the top.
It's got to be Zhang, right?
I mean, that's what's going to happen. But I think Marina Rodriguez deserves it more, frankly.
You think like, so? Razor thin with Rose Namajunas?
I mean, she's winning the games. Like, it's just about the dubs. And I know that former champion just blew the doors off Yana and Jacek. Like, there are a lot of things. Yan Xiaonan is just, she's never getting a title fight. I want to get us back to where we need to be, because like, we're trying to keep this tight, and we're already getting off the rails.
I love how Rodriguez gets a splitty over Yan Xiaonan, and she deserves a title shot, but you have zero respect for Yan Xiaonan.
Well, it doesn't matter that she got a splitty. She won the fight, and she's won, like, how many in a row is she on right now?
Quite a few. KO Amanda Rivas.
Yeah, that's her last loss was a BS.
Listen, you don't have to sell me on Marina Rodriguez. I'm sitting on a loser ticket for Marina Rodriguez, strawweight champion by end of 2022. I need no selling on my girl Marina.
You should be winning that ticket, but you're not going to. Back to the topic at hand.
Yes.
I don't, like I say, this is not me thinking that Mackenzie Dern is great. I just never been sold on Yan Xiaonan. And if this fight goes to the floor, and I think it can go to the floor, Mackenzie Dern owns that space. And so I'm taking it. I am also my second bet on this is I'm taking the under because I think it goes to the floor and I think Mackenzie Dern taps her, but Dern by submission is like minus 110 or minus 120. And that doesn't feel like good odds when you can just take the under 2.5 at plus 105, which feels the same, if not like much, much better. So those are my two plays, but I love that we have such a aggressive dissension right here off the top.
I mean, I'll make another argument for you on Mackenzie Dern is that more than likely, if Yan Jianan does survive, she will be in tricky spots at multiple times in this fight. Marina Rodriguez was in a super dicey position in the second round. Tisha Torres, second round as well. Dicey positions. That's when Mackenzie Dern got all her submission attempts. It was in that second round. I think Zhao Nan is going to have to navigate some dicey waters in this situation. But the thing is, in my opinion, if she navigates those waters and this stays standing for 20 minutes of the 25 minutes, she's just going to style on Mackenzie Dern striking. Like, I mean, if you just look at every time that Mackenzie Dern has fought a competent striker, I mean, Tisha Torres, she like, you can also make the argument that Mackenzie Dern lost against Tisha Torres.
I mean, you can make a lot of arguments.
You don't think so. You don't think rounds 1 and 3 Tisha Torres got?
I haven't rewatched that fight. I think I scored it for Dern at the time.
Oh man. Maybe I'm just biased because I took Mackenzie Dern and I also took Tisha Torres and I was pretty convinced that Tisha Torres won. Anyway.
My last point on this fight, it goes back to my first point, which is Dern has an A++ skill. More to that though, Dern, even if Jan keeps this fight standing for big portions of it or whatever, she is just not a threatening striker. This woman doesn't have finishes. Like yeah, she is she's just not going to, which means Dern is going to have the home run shot of a submission at all points in time for 25 minutes. And outside of just this fight, but holistically in matchups like this, I think there's another one down here a little later on where I feel similarly, where it's just like, you gotta be able, there is a serious detriment to not being a finisher. And it is that, especially in 25 minute fights, you're going to leave your opponent hanging around. And even if they are not as good a fighter, if they've got the A++ skill, they always have a real, real shot. And if you're going to let them hang for 25, it's why I don't like when Israel Adesanya just kind of coasts over opponents, because yes, you are winning in a quote unquote safe manner or whatever and staying out of danger. You're also giving really dangerous dudes like the upcoming Alex Pereira 25 minutes to find the shot. Like you should try. It's a weighted game of opportunity cost here. And I'm not a big Yao fan. And I think 25 minutes is a lot to say you have to be perfect in this category. And I don't think she can do it.
I'm surprised you're not playing by submission. Like, I feel like that's how Mackenzie Dern wins.
But it's minus one. It's minus 110. And I know, so but like, Mackenzie if Dern's it was like minus even 225. Money, yeah, I just give me the extra because maybe Jan can survive on the ground, but I'm just not willing to prop bet it. I've been getting burned by prop bets a lot lately.
I mean, I feel that. And everything you say, I don't disagree with. Like I'm making this argument for Yan Jianan, but it's really just based off of the price tag.
What's your second bet?
I took her at plus 200, and then because of everything you just said, she can't finish a sandwich. I also took her by decision, a little sprinkle on that as well, at plus 325. Plus 325.
I'm surprised that seems like that number should be lower, but okay, that's good juice.
Yeah. I mean, I'm only putting 0.75 units on this altogether, half a unit on her money line and 0.25 on the decision prop. It's not like I'm dying on this hill. I just feel like sometimes Mackenzie Dern gets a little over-respected in the markets. And yeah.
Oh, she definitely does. Like, let's be clear. I think there's a reason for that too. I'm for sure on the idiot side of the bet, but I think it's going to pay off.
Yeah, I mean, you could say you're on the idiot side of this bet all you want, but then if Mackenzie Dern, that's another thing, she doesn't even really have to take it to the ground, she'll just climb on top of people. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh no, that's it, yep, it's over.
There's just gonna be one early weird tie up, and Jan's then just going to suddenly fall to the ground with Dern wrapped around her like an octopus, and then it's game over.
A little disrespectful here of Jan Jan-Nan, man.
I am. I'm going to live in this keg, in this corner for the rest of my life. It's just, I'm not there. I wanted to. I tried hard to be contrarian early in her career and was like, well, maybe she's actually better than Wai Lee, you know? Like, maybe she's the actual Chinese, like, budding Chinese superstar that the UFC is looking for, because Wai Lee's unproven and she got obliterated by Rose. And then it was like, actually, no. Wai Lee Zhang is a super unbelievable athlete, and Yan Jianan is fine. Like, she's probably a plus athlete, but she is not anywhere in the neighborhood of Wai Lee Zhang.
No, I agree with that. She's a good striker, though. She's a much better striker than Mackenzie Dern.
Well, yeah, everyone's a better striker than Mackenzie Dern.
Oh, man, if you can't pull off the one-trick pony, then you're going to lose the fight. That's really my argument for taking this at juiced odds.
It's a good argument. I just think that one-trick pony is going to do the thing.
You very well could be right, dude. I mean, like, as much contention as there was on this argument, which I actually love.
I love that we were here.
I'm disagreement. So excited. But don't get it twisted, people. If Mackenzie Dern breaks her arm on Saturday, you will not be coloring me shocked. I am not going to be jaw on the floor.
That's the other thing. I forgot to even mention that, where it's like, Dern had the, I don't know if you saw, Dern had the interview earlier this week where she was just like, yeah, I'm about to be way meaner in my grappling. I've been like nice. Now I'm just going to break stuff.
People say stuff all the time before fights.
Nah, break it.
Yeah.
Break it. Okay. Do it.
I mean, she could break it. I mean, there's an ocean of experience and wealth of knowledge in the grappling game between these two. And Mackenzie Dern is on the right side of that ocean. There it is. We're on opposite sides. I love it. Hopefully it'll be a fun fight, or it might just end very quickly.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andre Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
All right, let's get to the co-main event. It's a welterweight bout. Randy Brown going up against Francisco Trinaldo. Right now you can get Brown for -315, Trinaldo +260. I played Randy Brown as a parlay piece.
Yes, sir.
6 inches taller, 8 inches of reach, 12 years younger. He's faster. He has a volume advantage. I just feel as if this is an advantageous matchup for Randy Brown, and I think he gets it done.
I am in full agreement. I have Randy in a parlay. I'm so excited to share with you the rest of the parlay.
I can't wait to hear it.
I'm really proud of it. It makes me very happy. But yeah, I'm full agreement here, so we don't need to spend too much time. God love Masaran Duba. He is 44 years old, and he is on that Yoel Romero already. Shouts to us. Yoel Romero making multiple appearances in this episode.
I mean, just love him.
Yeah. Masaran Duba is on that Yoel Romero. He's 44, but he's an alien. But like, that the bill comes due. At some point, this just doesn't work anymore. Randy Brown is the kind of guy that it doesn't work on. Huge physical advantages. Not really a big athletic advantage, actually, because Trinaldo is so spry for his advanced age. But I don't see any world in which Randy Brown doesn't end up marking up Trinaldo pretty comprehensively here.
Yeah, I mean, the argument is Trinaldo catches him, but I think Randy Brown's going to be all right.
Trinaldo has been paying out some underdog tickets lately, but I just, no fear. I'm back in Randy Brown.
Let's ride it with the Rude Boy. I actually have him in two parlays, nice little overexposure. So when Trinaldo catches him, you'll catch me in the fetal position on my rug. All right, let's keep it moving on the main card. It's a men's bantamweight bout. Haoni Barcelos going up against Trevin Jones. Right now you can get Barcelos for -215. Trevin Jones coming back at plus 185. Fight goes the distance, minus 125. Fight does not go, minus 105. So last time out, I had Haoni Barcelos in a parlay. He was juiced to the moon. And he went out there and got absolutely pieced up by a short notice debutant.
How did that work out for you?
It worked out terribly. Yeah, I was just like, what is going on? But I'm not giving up on him. So about a year ago, I watched a YouTube video called The Striking of Haoni Barcelos by Downward Elbow. I highly recommend anyone to go watch it. If you have a bet on Haoni Barcelos, it gets so deep into like his life. It breaks down his striking on like a whole nother level. And it just makes you believe that he is like the greatest mixed martial artist to ever live. But because of that YouTube video, I don't think I can ever bet against him. So yeah, I took Haoni Barcelos last week at minus 185. I do just think in this matchup, he's just like the more complete fighter than Trevin Jones. Like he's a Brazilian national champion wrestler. He's a BJJ black belt. He obviously has the crisp striking. He mixes the martial arts, dude. That's what this guy does. And on the flip side, Trevin Jones, he's just like he's very inactive out there. Like he doesn't throw a ton of volume. He doesn't do a ton of stuff. Like I know he's got knockout power. He has the capability to finish people, but Haoni Barcelos has never been knocked out. And I mean, just like if you look at on the volume, which I think is what Barcelos is going to do here, Trevin Jones has been outstruck in three of his four UFC fights, like pretty thoroughly in each of them, other than the one where he got a knockout. And I just think Haoni's got him covered here. I'm riding with Barcelos.
Does it give you any concern at all that Haoni is behind in the MMA math category? Lost to
Yeah.
Trevin Jones, B-Team of Valiev, overturn, no contest. How do you feel about the MMA math angle at play here?
It doesn't worry me. It doesn't worry me. Yan Zhang Nan beat Marina Rodriguez and Mackenzie Dern lost to her. I mean, you know, I'm not thinking about MMA math today.
Hey, that's good to hear because I'm with you. I just like Haoni. Like he's...
Dude, right? He's just a likable fighter.
I love his game. I love the way he strikes. He is high volume, but with power. That whole finishing sequence in his UFC debut against Kurt Hollibaugh is like put it in the Louvre. It's not like the world's cleanest striking, but it's awesome striking is what the hell it is. He's just dope. He's a really fun fighter. It will not entirely surprise me if he goes out here and loses to Trevin Jones because it does seem that Haoni has missteps in places he shouldn't, but I just like him. And so I took it because rule number three, betting is supposed to be fun. I like Haoni Barcelos. I want to bet on him. This is going to be a really fun fight.
Yes.
And I'll just take a bet. I know it's minus 225 or whatever. That's fine. So I bet
it's fine. I bet on my guy. That's what I'm doing here.
Bet on your guys.
Great bettors don't bet with their heart. Good thing I'm not a great bettor. I'll always remind everyone of that. Yeah. So Haoni Barcelos is the play. Let's keep it rolling on the main card. It's a featherweight bout, short notice. Sadiq Youssef getting Don Chianis. Right now you can get Youssef for
Shameless
minus 900.
Chianis.
There we go. Right now you can get Youssef for minus 900. You can get Shameless for plus 625. Over, under, set at 1.5. Over, minus 165. Under, plus 135. Yeah, like I said, super short notice for Shameless. Yusuf's
bigger.
Are
you chalk donking?
So this is one of those weeks where people are going to be like, show the slips. I don't believe you. Yeah, I threw Sadiq in two parlays at minus 550 last week. But yeah, I'm chalk donking. I would probably still parlay him up at minus 900 now. I mean, he's 3 inches of height, 5 inches of reach. And there's just a world of difference in the level of competition that these guys have fought. I mean, Shameless is beating 500 fighters, 0-6 fighters, 0-3 fighters. But the crown jewel of this man's record, did you see it? Jay Ellis?
Oh, I am. Yeah, I that is one of the two things I wanted to talk about.
16 and 106 in 122 MMA bouts. 16.
Hey, he was only 16 and 104. When Don Shane has fought him.
All right, so a couple stats here. I went deep on old Jay Ellis.
Jay Ellis is the man. I am
the man.
He's
this guy fascinating. Just listen. He builds MMA careers. That's what he does. He's good at building people's MMA careers because he has been finished in the first round. Finished in the first round in 35 of his last 36 fights, 49 of his last 51. This guy goes out there. Listen, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Go ahead and get this over with and give me my paycheck so I can get out of here. 122 fights. He's been to a decision 4 times. Like, the guy doesn't go to a decision. Last part, maybe the best part, he has a win over Gerald Meerschaert.
Yeah, it's awesome. One of his 4 or whatever wins.
Yeah, and he also helped build Colby Covington. So, guys intertwined with the story of the UFC. Got way off track there.
Yes, no, we have to get off track for just one more brief moment in this, because I don't know if I've said this publicly. I probably have, but certainly internally, I've had a longstanding argument that were I to be put in charge of an MMA promotion, the most important thing is accruing talent, right? Like, you want to get the best guys. You can put on awesome fights. It's dope. I think that MMA promotions are all universally, UFC, ONE, Belt, all of them are terrible at half of this. Because yes, you want to get the best talent that does awesome stuff, but you also want to get the talent that's going to get your best talent over. Like, there is a skill to winning MMA fights. There is a skill to losing MMA fights in awesome and ridiculous fashion. And Jay Ellis, baby, that man knows how to go out. Like, you go out on his shield, because let's be real. Jay Ellis has fought 120 times in his career. The man physically knows and is capable of not losing in the first round. Like, there is no way he is not at least able to go defend himself adequately, because it's not like everybody he's fighting is Colby Covington. He's making a choice. He is choosing to go and fight this way, and consequences be damned. And that's the kind, that's the other end. That's the dirty side of MMA promotion that nobody talks about. I would employ JLS tomorrow if I was running a promotion, because he's going to bring exactly the other end of things that I need. Now we can get back on track. I will say my only other piece on this. I agree with everything you said. I don't have a bet down because Sadiq Youssef is a Lloyd Irvin guy, and just as a general rule, I'm not going to bet on Lloyd Irvin dudes. But I understand people are doing it, and I think that he's a fine parlay include if you're okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just think he gets it done. You think Jay Ellis still gets nervous for the walk?
No chance. That man knows what's up. There's no
I feel
way
like he's just crushing a six pack in the back. He's like, let's go do it.
Dude, have you been in a lot of fights in your life?
No, not in a ton. I mean, like, I've been in like scraps.
But yeah, you've been in some scraps. Like,
I've been punched in the face a few times.
Yeah, it's one of the things that bothers me like the most is when like people, because you know, I make some outlandish statements from time to time. People get upset at me. They're like, "Well, you wouldn't say that to Colby Covington's face." Like, yes, I would. What's he gonna do? Beat me up? That's cool. Like, I'm not saying I could beat up Colby Covington. I've also had my ass beat before, and it's not that bad. Like, once you get your ass beat, then everybody who says that, it's clear to me they've never been in a fist fight, because like, once you get beat up, you're just like, oh, this is substantially better than like the idea in my head. And so for this dude, he's gotten beat up 100 times. He doesn't give a shit.
I actually can't agree with that. The idea of getting your ass beat is much worse in your head than when it actually happens.
Yeah. It's so, especially when you've never had it, and like because you know, you grow up in elementary or middle school and you're like, oh, I get afraid that I'm going to, and then you actually just get beat up one time. You're like, oh, okay, like, all right. Like, I mean, it's not fun.
Fuck, it is not fun. But in the moment, like, also, you got to remember, in the moment, your adrenaline is just like on go. So it's not hurting nearly as bad.
It doesn't suck at all.
Exactly.
It sucks the week after.
Yeah.
Week after, when you're sporting like a shitty cut on your lip or whatever that keeps opening and is annoying, but it's not that bad. Like,
all right, very, very short story time. University of Georgia, great place.
Some scraps at that place.
It's a weekend before. I'm not like a big, like, I'm not going to start fights. I really just, that's not really my MO. I'm very easygoing, and if fight starts, I'm usually the guy trying to break them up. So one of my friends, we're getting some dogs, some street meat before we headed home for the night. One of my friends gets into an altercation with a guy. I try to come break it up. I'm like, yo, just chill. Like, we're about to go home. This isn't that serious. Like, y'all have had too much to drink. Let's just get out of here. Sucker punch. Rocked. Like, I get rocked in the face. Like, start just gushing blood. It's on from there. It gets hectic. And that weekend in April happened to be the Saturday before Easter when I had to go home to my parents. The very next day, I had to go home to my parents. Not looking too right. And, like, I didn't tell them either until I got home and I walk in. Face is all messed up. Oh yeah, dude, it was bad. That happens
yeah. In college, you're out, some things happen. I played rugby at UGA.
I was
involved in many of things, like dumb little scraps like that. Just it is what it is, man. And so like
The worst part is I tell my parents, I'm like, I literally was trying to break it up. I was trying to be the peacemaker, and it didn't work out. All right. That's Jay Ellis. That's Sadiq Youssef. That's Shameless. We keep it moving on the main card as we're getting squeezed for time. Next weight is a catch weight bout at 140. Sexy Mexi, John Castaneda going up against Daniel Santos. Sexy Mexi minus 180. Willie Cat Santos plus 155. I know you said you didn't have anything here. I'm actually very much looking forward to this fight. Going back and watching some tape. I think it's a
fun fight.
Dude, I mean, Castaneda against Miles John just like wilted him with pressure. And eventually, like, he was wobbling him. He knocked him down in the second, knocked him down in the third, and eventually choked him out with that arm triangle. I mean, he was pushing the pressure. And then I went back and watched Daniel Santos fight. So, shoot boxing, Charles Oliveira, these guys just come for heads. Like, that's what Daniel Santos is going to come in and do. He is going to go head hunting on John Castaneda. And what fascinates me, what makes me so curious is if both these guys are pushing the pressure, if both these dudes are moving forward, like Miles John was supposed to have the power against John Castaneda, and it was John Castaneda that was eating the shots and had the power and kept moving forward. So if these guys just come out here swinging, keep moving forward, like, this could be a super exciting fight. I mean, we saw a dude, Blue Hair, from shoot boxing on Contender Series last night, got a knockout in like 40 seconds. Like, these do come for blows. I think it's going to be a crazy fight. Haven't played it yet. Was hoping you would have some insight, but it sounds like you do not. I'm very much considering, after watching their last two fights, playing the fight does not go to a decision at even money, because I just see these guys coming out here and brawling.
I think it is going to be a brawl. It's going to be really, and that's why I don't have a bet. If I were betting, I have a little line under Daniel Santos at underdog odds, just because if I were to take a side, I think that's a dog or pass for me. It's going to be one of the most fun fights on the card for sure. I agree with your assessment. It's absolutely going to be a brawl. They're going to come out chucking mitts. I don't feel super confident that I know who is going to get the better of that, which is why I'd have it as a dog or pass. But I have a lot of other bets this weekend, so I just decided I didn't need to throw anything here.
That's a smart move. I've just decided in real time, let's get degenerate with it. I played the fight doesn't go to a decision at plus 105. They gave me plus money on it. I'll take it because I do think this thing's going to be on go mode. You're a smart man. I am not, because I mentioned that Sadiq Youssef minus 550, great line. Well, one of the parlays I have him in is with John Castaneda at minus 210, which is now long gone. Okay. You can get Castaneda as good as minus 175.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you said I like stats. I do like stats. I didn't go back and rewatch Santos's fight, and I just saw how thoroughly outstruck he got against Julio Arce. I was like, Castaneda looked great, man. He's got this. I went back and watched Santos' fight, dude. He had a terrible hit rate.
But he scraps, though.
Dude, he scraps. This is going to be sweaty for me on Castaneda. I can't cash it out now. There's no option for me. So, yeah, I'm riding with John Castaneda. I was originally thinking he would just pressure him and fold him and wilt him and dodge shots, but I don't know who's going to be doing the pressuring. Like, both of these guys like to go for it and like to throw hands. So it's going to be dicey. I do think if it does go to a decision, Castaneda has the advantage. I think he will land far more. I also think he has a ground advantage as well, but the way Santos comes out, man, He has the potential to end the fight the way he goes for it. Spinning shit. Like, he's just shoot boxing, man. These guys are exciting right now.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's going to be a great fight. On to other great fights. Do you have anything transition on this Mike Davis Vyacheslav Borshev fight? Because
no, but I'm super stoked for it.
Oh, I do not.
No, I mean, I think Mike Davis might win, but like also I kind of feel like Slava Claus is getting slept on a little bit.
I love Slava Claus is the name. That's such a good name.
Feel like he's getting slept on a little bit. I think it's going to be a great fight, so I'm just not going to touch it.
You know why he's not? Why he's getting slept on? There's one number as why. 11. Mark Diakhisi, who's not a historically great wrestler. He's a fine wrestler, but that's not his background. Took him down 11 times.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of takedowns.
Dumped him. Yeah. If Mike Davis has any success in the takedowns, it's probably over for Slava.
The thing is, he can wrestle a bit. He's not like a big wrestler, but he can wrestle a bit. He's really well-rounded. I think Mike Davis should win this fight, but if he doesn't go to the takedowns, this fight gets really interesting really fast.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a fun one, though. Mike Davis is fireworks. So that's the main card. Let's rip through some prelims. First up, this is all you. Men's heavyweight bout, Alexei Oleinik +150 against Aliyah Latifi -175. Over under now set at 1.5. They opened it at 2.5. Over -130. Even money.
We were talking about it, and I was like, I said it. It's I'm taking every heavyweight over blindly. I was going to take it at -2.5. We were talking about that was plus money, and I was convincing myself that I was okay with it. Let's not get into the numbers because the numbers
aren't great
for me. I'm here to recognize that. I will say that at over 1.5, the numbers become much better. The last four fights for Aliyah Latifi, he's hit the over. The man, especially in his move up to heavyweight, he has zero urgency. He is just not doing almost anything at all during the fight. Alexei Oleinik, obviously a little bit more urgency, but he's, you know, against better guys, he's not. Derek Lewis, he was a little slower to get things going there. I don't need to talk the math here. The point is, it's a heavyweight over. I'm taking it. -130. I'm in there. The experiment continues.
I was very worried for you at the 2.5. I'm not going to lie.
I wouldn't have been worried. I just would have assumed I wasn't going to hit it that time. But at 1.5, I'm feeling frisky.
You know that I'm going to be cheering for you.
We're great partners. We support each other in all our endeavors.
All right. That's it. Heavyweight overs.
That's all the breakdown we need on that.
That's all you needed on that one. Next up, it's a women's strawweight bout. Jessica Penne, +180, going up against Tabitha Baby Shark Ricci at -210. Fight goes -240. Fight does not +190. I am on Tabitha Ricci.
Let's go.
Wrestle, and then wrestle some more. Jessica Penne, 40% takedown defense. She is liable to get put on her back. Yeah, she has like some submission threat, but I'm really not that worried about it for Tabitha. And just pressure. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say Penne's got like a huge striking advantage. She's not really a great striker, but she is much bigger than Tabitha Ricci. So let's just get it to the ground.
I'm so excited you mentioned her being much bigger because I'd like to introduce you to a piece of information that you might not have. So
I want it. I need it.
Tabitha Ricci, she is 5 feet tall at +1 inch. She is 5'1". Not particularly tall, let's be honest. Fairly small. Not for the division, it's okay, but just in general. Penne has lost to Emily Ducote, who is 5'2".
I was there, yeah.
To Lupi Godinez, who is 5'2". Now, listeners might be saying, I thought she beat Lupi Godinez. You'd be like, technically, yes. But by no means in reality did she actually beat Lupi Godinez.
I love how many narratives were changing on scorecards this week. Me with Jan.
I'm just saying she didn't beat her. I have eyeballs. I watched that fight. Daniel Taylor, who is 5'0". Jessica Andrade, who is 5'1". She is the only fighter shorter than 5'3 that Penne has beaten, was all the way back in Invicta. This woman cannot use the size advantages that she has against smaller women. I think it's because the smaller women can get under her guard and take her down.
I love this. Because she's a terrible takedown. This is physics.
This is anatomy, biology, physics. I mean, it's science is what it is.
Jessica Penne is afraid of our short queens. And what is Tabitha Ricci?
She is a short queen.
Yes, baby shark.
As soon as I was looking, before I even was like, oh yeah, she's a bad wrestler. It was just like, wait, this feels like the eighth small person she's fought. Yep.
UFC
and
knows
she
what they're
keeps
doing.
Losing to them.
UFC has the short people they want to push.
Yeah.
Feed her to Penny.
Short Queen Rain, baby. If you're 5'3" and up, then Jessica Penny has a chance
lethal
of beating
Could be a UFC champion if they allowed people, if you had to be, if there was a height requirement, if you had to be over 5'3", Jessica Penne is the strawweight champion right now. Unfortunately, that's not the case.
It's not the case. Short Queen's just upending her every step of the way. So I am with you. I've got a bet on Tabitha Ricci.
I'm all in on Baby Shark.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Next up, lightweight bout, Joaquim Silva going up against Jesse Ronson. Right now, you can get Silva for minus 145. Ronson coming back plus 125, over under at 2.5, over even money, under minus 130. I am on the fight does not go to a decision at minus 145. Just looking at their records, Ronson, 8 of his last 10s have not gone to the scorecards, been knocked out, been submitted. Including his Ultimate Fighter fights for Joaquim Silva, 13 of his 17 fights in his career have not gone to a decision. Been knocked out, been submitted. They've both been doing the knocking out. They've both been doing the submitting. I mean, these guys that have finishing abilities and can get finished, I think they're going to come out here, push the pace. Jobs might be on the line too. Might really want to come out here and do something emphatic. Don't really play that into a factor. And Silva, the chin is dicey. The chin is dicey. KO'd by Ricky Glenn. KO'd by Nasrat Haqparast. I mean, both those guys.
That man does not finish people.
At all. Ricky Glenn, 8 UFC fights, 1 KO win. Joaquim Silva. Nasrat Haqparast, 10 UFC fights, 1 KO win. Joaquim Silva.
I didn't realize Ricky Glenn was that bad on finishing either. Wow. That is a combined 20 fights where he's the only KO finish. That's.
Oof. Yeah, 18 combined UFC fights, only KO finish for both guys. Oof. So, yeah, I like this one to not go to a decision. That's what I'm going to ride with, minus 145 on that.
I have no action on this. I didn't do a lot of study on this fight. Just kind of looked at it and thought I'll move on to other things. I have a lot of bets down, so
sweet.
We'll run with your analysis. Yeah. Sounded great. You sold me.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You'll be cheering for me there. I'll be cheering for you on the heavyweight over, and we'll hopefully make some money. Let's keep it moving, though. Let's keep it pushing. We're plowing through these prelims. Next up, middleweight bout. Brendan Allen, Christoph Jocko, Allen plus 100, Jocko minus 120. And it looks like the people that are here to kick me out, look at them peering in, looking at me. I
see them.
I don't think she's seen my email or my Slack. Should I go address her real quick?
I mean, yeah, sure, if you want
to. Yeah, I'll go talk to her.
I'll talk on the Christoph Jocko, Brendan Allen thing while Connor's gone. We may cut this in post, but you'll find out whether or not. I am on Brendan Allen. I think Connor might also be on Brendan Allen. We might have ourselves a little Wolfpack wager, baby. I'm on Brendan Allen. He has only lost to top-tier middleweights. Now, some of you listening might say, oh, well, that's the same for Christoph Jocko, and you would be correct. But I think Jocko is losing a step. He's a little bit older. He's not old, but he's losing a little bit of a step, I think. And he doesn't, as I mentioned at the top, he is not the same level of finisher that Brendan Allen is. Jocko goes to decision all the time, and he's going to let Allen hang around. He's really durable himself, but I like backing people who I think are more dynamic offensive threats, and that's Brendan Allen. So Connor is back. Connor, I tease the fans because I think you might be on Brendan Allen. I think we might have a Wolfpack wager here because I am on Brendan Allen.
First of all, we have to leave that all in. I just had to discussion with the fantastic lady outside. She's going to allow us a few more minutes here.
Awesome.
I'm on Christoph Jocko, actually.
Damn it!
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's just got so much experience. He's been in the UFC for almost a decade. Like, he just fights smart. He's obviously got the grappling chops to avoid the submission. He did it against GM3. Brennan Allen is not GM3. And one of the biggest things for Jocko, 83% takedown defense over a pretty large sample size if Brennan Allen tries to wrestle. And if he does get him down, I think he's also going to get back up. And then if it stays standing, I really think that Jocko's a better boxer. If he wins, it's probably going to be boring, probably going to hate it. Everyone's going to be mad.
Yeah. Every time Christoph Jocko has ever won, it was boring.
But yeah, I'm on Christoph Jocko, and you're on Brendan Allen. This is live production here, folks. We're going to keep it moving.
That's what I wanted. I'm just really sad. I thought you were going to be on the dog with me and we'd have a wolf pack, but it's fine. Now we're discovering where you and I have philosophical differences in our betting patterns, because I am taking the more mercurial, better finishers, and you are taking the boring, middle of the road, I'm good at fighting. Yeah. Like, that's not me. And I'm never going to be that way.
Highs and lows,
babies. Give me the roller coaster.
It might not work out for me this weekend. I can't speak with massive confidence on any of these plays, if I'm being totally honest with you. You've got a play on sure a prelim do. Bout, light heavyweight, Maxime Grishin, Philippe Lenz, Grishin -180, Lenz +155, over under set at 2.5, over -140, under +110.
I'll keep the breakdown simple here, because you may be looking at this and you may be saying, Jed, this is a light heavyweight bout, but this is a spiritual heavyweight bout. Grishin fought a heavyweight many times, fought twice for the M1 heavyweight title. Lenz, the 2018 PFL heavyweight champion. Let's not forget, PFL heavyweight champion. And the same time that Grishin was in the PFL as a light heavyweight. This is a spiritual heavyweight bout. And what do I say? I have a rule, Connor. What is it? We take the overs. Even though this isn't an actual heavyweight, it's a spiritual heavyweight bout. Grishin also may just blow weight. He's done it before. This might become a heavyweight bout by fight night. So I'm on the over 2.5. It's -140. We don't need to talk numbers. We don't need to talk that finishes have been happening all the time. We're talking science, which is overs heavyweight fights every time. That's where I'm at.
I love it. I love it. There it is. The spiritual heavyweight over.
Spiritual heavyweight over.
Again, I'll be cheering for you. I'll be supporting you. Last fight we have to get into on this UFC card. It is a men's bantamweight bout. It's Randy Costa, Guido Canetti. Costa -280. Canetti +235. Over under set at 1.5. Under -140. Over +125. Yeah, it's kind of something I've been going back to on this card. But yeah, Randy Costa, 3 inches taller, 5-inch reach advantage, 14 years younger. He's not like the best fighter in the world, but like, this is going to be fireworks. They're going to come out swinging. I think Guido Canetti is going to come in with a similar style as he did against Chris Moutinho. But Randy Costa is not Chris Moutinho. Randy Costa actually has UFC wins. He has big time finishing capabilities. He's never been to a decision. And I think he's just going to get it done. I think he's going to catch Guido Canetti and I think he's going to finish him. Tony Kelly fight doesn't exude a ton of confidence, but, I do think Randy Costa bounces back here and gets it done. I also like the fight doesn't go to a decision. Parlayed that with Randy Brown. That's my second Randy Brown parlay. Got that at -240. I mean, Costa's never been to a decision. I think Guido Canetti's going to come out here swinging, and I do think someone gets finished.
You left out the most important piece of analysis for this whole fight.
Yeah.
Have you seen Randy Costa? That is a handsome man. God,
he is. Dude, he's like a mini Paolo, but yeah, like Tanner.
You cannot bet against a man that is that handsome, especially with the mustache. The mustache game is on point. Like, you just can't do it.
I know. I had to look at a few different pictures. I was like, is this guy really that handsome?
He is that handsome. And it's historically, if you bet on handsome people in MMA, it largely works. But yeah, I'm with you. I mentioned that I had a parlay I was really happy about.
Please tell me.
It's the Randy parlay.
Yes.
Randy Brown. Randy Costa. Let's Randy it up. Let's get Randy, baby.
I might drink some brandy to cheer on our Randy parlay. I'm in on the same thing. I did add in Sadiq Youssef as well. So call it a Randy plus old Youssef. But yes, Randy's still we got.
The Randy parlay, it pays out -130. I'm really excited about the Randy parlay, so I'm in.
Should we do an ageism parlay where we just say, like, screw it, we hate old people, and we fade everyone that's over 40? So that would be taking Aleer Latifi against Alexio Linick, Randy Costa against Guido Canetti, and Randy Brown against Francisco Trinaldo. The ageism parlay pays plus 179. I love old people, so I'm not in on that. Respect
your
elders.
I've just been burnt a lot by fading old people lately, so I'm not going to do it. But my heart believes in it, but I've been hurt too many times lately, so I can't join.
So that's the UFC card. We have literally no time to get into Bellator. I'm just going to say my Bellator parlay, and you say your plays for Bellator.
I have so many bets on Bellator.
You can rip through those?
I'll rip through them real quick.
Yes.
It's very easy. Not a ton of analysis here. I'm taking Adam Borks over Pitbull. I think Pitbull wins the main event, but I just like Borks. I think he's flashed a lot. And Pitbull, I can see a world where Pitbull's last great performance is the AJ McKee rematch. And so taking the plus money play, probably a stupid bet. I'm anticipating a loss, but my gut says take the shot. I'm taking the shot. I've got AJ McKee. I've parlayed him up. It's not a great parlay. It's a simple one. I just did it with Aaron Pico because honestly, couldn't find odds for some of the other guys we talked about, Connor, to add to this parlay because some books don't have them yet because they're that juiced. I know what you're going to say. I'm totally with you on it, but I just took AJ McKee and Aaron Pico parlay together. Still paid out minus 225. Like that's a reasonable two-leg parlay.
To interrupt you on that, I did the same thing and then added Lance Gibson, squash match, 12-15 fighter that's been finished in four of his last five fights in the first round. And then I also added Sumiko Inaba. Nadine Mandiao, 2-5 pro record.
Yeah.
Combined record of the two fighters she beat is 1-3. And then, go back to Nadine's last amateur fight. It was against aforementioned Sumiko Inaba, and she was knocked out in 65 seconds. Squash match. They're trying to build up both those fighters. I got that. Pays out minus 110.
Inaba is the one I wanted to add because we talked about it, but no lines up for me to add to a parlay. So then I'm taking a shot on Enrique Barzola. It's minus 110. Pick and fight with Juan Archuleta. I think Juan Archuleta is getting a little older. He's in his late 30s, I believe, now. And he's just losing his fastball. And Enrique Barzola is a really competitive, tough dude. It's going to be a great fight. I'm taking a shot. I don't have bets down yet because I ran out of time doing research. But I'm also very interested in J.J. Wilson versus Vladimir Tokov. That's a pick 'em fight right now. And similarly for Max Roxkoff versus Mike Hamill, I think I want to play Max, but he's minus 115. I got to do a little more research because rule number 12, do the work. Always do your research. So that's where I'm at. Anything else you got, Connor, before we close her down?
That's it for me on Bellator. My man Chris is about to come in here and literally rip me from this studio. That's what you get with live production, people.
I love it.
UFC plays for me. Haoni Barcelos. Ronson Silva doesn't go to a decision. Castaneda Silva doesn't go to a decision. I'm on the Silva unders. Santos, I'm sorry. I'm not on that. Castaneda Santos doesn't go to a decision. Tabitha Ricci, Christoph Jocko, Yan Zhao Nan by decision. Parlayed Sadiq Youssef with Castaneda. Parlayed Sadiq Youssef with Randy Brown and Randy Costa. And then I'm on Canetti Costa doesn't go to a decision as well as Randy Brown.
Perfect. I'm on McKenzie Dern Yan under 2.5. Raoni Barcelos. Olenek Latifi over 1.5. Tabitha Ricci. Brendan Allen. Grishin leans over 2.5. Spiritual heavyweight fight. And then the Randy parlay. Brown and Costa. Paying it out minus 130. Plus all those belly hits that we just did. And that's it. We're wrapped, son. Before 9:30, boom.
Look at that. Before 9:30, this is live production. I'm sorry to everyone if this felt a little bit rushed. I'll make sure to check the studio out next week and not be a dummy. But these beautiful people have let us stay this long. That's all
Thank
we got.
You.
Off week next week, but then we're back with another banger. Alexa Grasso, Viviana Rujo. You don't want to miss that one. We'll see you then. Peace.
Love you guys.
Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.